Father God, you are our rescuer. Without you, we would be still dead in our trespasses and sin. Lord, you have the words of life. You have the way of life. As a matter of fact, you tell us that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through you, Lord Jesus. So we come today, Lord, sinners saved by grace. Lord, we come today just as we are because there is no other way we can come. Lord, we can't fix it. We can't get our life right. We can't figure it out on our own. We've got to have you. And Father, those of us who know you as Lord and Savior, you've called us to be the salt and the light. Not that we know it all, not that we are holier than anybody else or we're righteous in and of ourselves, but Father, we have the good news. We have the light in us, and we are to shine that light. We are to proclaim that truth. Father, we are the watchman on the wall. Help us to give the alarm because our nation is in the midst of a definitely dark time. People need to turn from the path that they are on and turn back to you before it is too late. Father, we love you and we praise your name. We want to be still before you this morning and hear your word. We want you to work in our lives and through us and around us with those that we love, with those that we encounter. Father, with our culture, with our nation, God, before it's too late. Help us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Open our hearts and our minds this morning to your truth and guide us by your Spirit. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, there was a man, it was a woman, and a man that she was friends with. She decided that she wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail. Now, any of you that know what that is a long-distance trail that starts in Georgia and goes all the way to Maine. It's a long trek, takes, you know, 3 or 4 months, depending on how many miles you can hike to do it. And you have to be careful the time of year that you hike it and which direction you go in so that you try to avoid the hazards of cold weather and snow and that kind of thing. Anyway, this lady had been a dream of hers to hike the Appalachian Trail. And she and a friend of hers were going to do that. Now, apparently this lady was a little bit directionally challenged. You know, when you're in the woods especially, you need to know how to navigate with a map and a compass or a GPS. And she had some challenges apparently doing that, but her friend was adept at doing that. Well, they were about halfway through the hike, and her friend had a family emergency. I forgot exactly what it was, but he had a family emergency and he had to abandon the hike. And he tried to talk her into stopping as well. But she was bound and determined that she was going to go ahead and do the rest of the hike. Well, he had to leave and go back home. That's the last time anybody heard from the woman alive. Searchers finally found her about a month later, not very far off the trail. But she had become lost, and she pitched her tent, and she stayed there, and she died. Now, you might think, how in the world can that be the case in a modern day that somebody in the United States could get off a trail in the eastern United States and die from exposure and or lack of water or whatever was the cause of death? Well, you know, it can happen. The point, though, of the story is that if we don't know where we're going, if we don't have someone who will guide us, it is very easy for us to become lost. You see, Satan is a deceiver, and he would be more than happy to get you on the wrong trail. Now, even if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Even if you are saved, if you are not walking in His light daily, you can still get on the wrong trail. Now, I do not mean by that that you can lose your salvation, because I don't think that's Scripture. I don't think you can lose your salvation once you are saved. However, you can lose the joy of your salvation. You can get so far off the trail that you don't know how you got there. And your life can be miserable. As a matter of fact, if you know Jesus and you're walking contrary to His will, your life will be miserable. And it should be. And you wonder, how in the world did I get so far off the trail? You got there one step at a time. I recently was going through a section of the Penhoti Trail. They had extended it into Coosa County, and I was up that way, and I'm like, you know, it's a brand new trail. And now that's the operative word. It was a brand new trail. I'm gonna try it out. So they had a little trail map and found the trailhead. Okay. I'm going to go. So I'm going up the Penhoti. Now, the Penhoti is a well-used trail, but the new section was just that. It was brand new. And I think I must have been number three on the trail. I don't know. But so I'm going on this trail, and one good habit I have developed is, as if I'm hiking a new trail, I will stop periodically and I will turn around and look behind me to make sure I can see where I came from. Well, I got about a mile and a half or so in this trail, maybe almost 2 miles, and I looked back, and guess what? I couldn't see any blazes. Now, blaze is a little sign they paint on the tree. Couldn't see any blazes. And I'm like, So I walked backwards a little piece, and I still couldn't see any blazes. Now this was a new trail. It's not worn. So I'm thinking, So at that point in time, I got two choices. I can forge ahead and maybe get lost, or I can go back. Well, discretion is the better part of valor. I'm going back to the truck. So I pulled out my GPS backtrack, and I followed the GPS back to my truck. And it took a while before I saw any blazes on the trail. Now, I don't know if they didn't paint any on the other side or what the deal is. The point is, I'm an experienced hiker, but I could have got lost very easily. It can happen to us in our life as well. Scripture says to walk circumspectly. Now, that's a big word. What does that mean? That means walk carefully. Walk carefully. Some scripture we want to look at today. Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. So the Lord desires to teach us his way. Scripture says that his word will be a light and a lamp to our feet and to our path. Let's keep going. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Jesus speaking here, he says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide, now look at this, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Narrow gate. because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there's a lot of traffic headed in that direction. And friends, there's more today than there ever has been before. And they're getting faster at it. Not only is there more of them, but they're getting there faster. And they want to drag everybody else with them. There are those in our culture that want to control the direction of the nation down that wide path. And if you are a Christian, you need to resist that. You need to resist that. Scripture says, submit to God and resist the devil. We need to be doing that. We need to be doing that. Because there's a bunch headed that wide path. Let's keep going. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. We need to know, where do I need to go? Which way do I go? God's Word was a lamp and a light. He will guide and direct us, but we got to be willing to go there. We got to be willing to walk. We got to be willing to be led. We spent hours not too long ago in the hot woods hunting a guy who was, I don't even know why he went in the woods. Well, yeah, I do. He was under the influence of something else. But anyway, he went in the woods, didn't know where he was at, how to get out, and we had to go find him through stuff. I don't even know how he got through it. A snake couldn't have got through some of that stuff. And you think, what was on his mind? What's on the mind of man today that he would go down the path that he's traveling? That it's okay to kill a newborn, even up to the day of delivery. We just witnessed a miracle with the delivery of Ken Lee this morning. But how many babies are killed at that point? And culture says it's a choice. Yeah, it's a choice. And the choice is evil. And the choice is murder. We're headed down a very dark, wide path. And it leads to destruction. What are we going to do about it? Let's look at some things. First of all, we need to understand that it is very easy to get lost on the path. You know, we look at those people who proclaim darkness and we think, how in the world can they believe that? How can somebody think that? Well, you've got to remember, if the Spirit of God is not present in a person's life, they're living in the darkness. Scripture says that we are blind leaders of the blind. The trouble is, Scripture also tells us that Jesus is the light. And the light was given to men, but men love darkness rather than the light. And they gravitate to the darkness instead of to the light because they don't want their deeds to be manifested, that they're evil. Why do people not like to hear the name of Jesus? Because they don't want the light to be shined in their life. Because they want to keep doing what they're doing. They want people to say, well, it's okay to do what you're doing. That's just a choice. Well, yeah, it's a choice, but it's not okay. It's not okay. Who are you to tell me it's not okay? I'm not the one that told you. God's telling you that. You don't believe it? It don't matter if you don't believe it or not. There have been countless people who have died under the influence of something like LSD who jumped out of a window because they believed they could fly. And they found out, too late, that gravity is true and they can't fly. You see, it doesn't matter what you sincerely believe, you can sincerely be wrong. When you were in school and took a test, how many times did you sincerely believe you were right, but the question was wrong? You're laughing, but that's happened a few times. That's happened a few times. You're sincerely wrong. I told you before about my oldest nephew who got in trouble at kindergarten. And my sister said, you've got a bad attitude. He said, it's my attitude, I like it. And that didn't go over too well. But that's the culture today. It's okay because I want to do it. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. It will not be okay. It will never be okay. I'm not okay. You're not okay. None of us are okay. If we're apart from Jesus Christ, we're never going to be okay. Now, let me tell you, you're not going to get okay and then come to Jesus. You're not going to fix your life and then come to Jesus. You're not going to give me time to get my life in order and I'm going to come to church. That's not going to happen because you're not going to get your life in order because none of us can. Scripture says to come as you are because that's the only way we can come. Scripture says that we are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. The law has determined that we are all under condemnation. Justice says we all go to hell. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Grace says we go to heaven if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's easy to get lost on the path because we have a fleshly nature. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish, do you? Do you? You don't have to teach a child to do any of this, to be mean. Kids do that. Why do they do that? Because they have a fleshly nature. Why does sin appeal to us? Be honest, it does. If it didn't, we'd never sin. It appeals to us because we have a fleshly nature. James chapter 4 says that wars don't come from outside. Wars come from inside. Because we've got the lust going on in here. We want this. We want a little piece of this country, a little piece of that, or whatever the case might be. We lust after stuff, and these wars come because of that. We've got a fleshly nature. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are blind. Spiritually speaking, we don't see. And last time I noticed, if you can't see, you don't navigate very well. The Word of God talks about the Pharisees in that case being blind leaders of the blind. If you don't know what you need to do in life, if you don't know what path you need to take, ask somebody. They got an opinion, they're going to tell you. I promise you, they'll tell you. Somebody will say, this is what you need to do. Satan will be glad to give you an opinion. This is what you need to do. God will give you the truth. This is the only thing you can do. Now, sometimes we got our own idea of what our life ought to look like, where we ought to be going, how we ought to get there, the things we got to do. You know, some people have got their life planned out, got a list made out, got a chronological list made out. They know what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work. Life doesn't work that way because we don't know what tomorrow holds. The blind leaders of the blind. Scripture says, if you love the world, now when he's talking about the world, he's not talking about the trees and the rocks and the animals. He's talking about the way of man, the fleshly nature. He says in his word, if you love the way of the world, then you are an enemy with God. You can't straddle the fence. Like we talked about before, trying to get in the canoe and leaving one foot on the dock doesn't work. You got to get in the boat. He says, if you are friends with the world, if you love the world, if you are chasing after the way of the world, then you are an enemy of God. You cannot have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. It doesn't work. It does not work. If Jesus is not Lord of all of your life, then He is not Lord. The love of the world will get you lost on the path. Because you go out chasing something else. Part of the problem is the people that are lost don't know they're lost. Yeah, that little 3-year-old boy, thank God, that we found back a month or two ago that was missing from the house. People think, well, you go out and you just beat the woods and you find this little 3-year-old. It's not quite that easy. Because 3-year-old kids that age are not going to yell out because they're scared. And they don't know who all this army of folks is beating the bush. You might walk right over them and not ever see them. This dude that we were hunting the other day in the woods, I don't think he even knew he was lost because of what he was on. But the world doesn't think they're lost. They think everything is good. Right's wrong, wrong is right, light's dark, dark is light, it's all good. No, it's not. But they think they're okay. The trouble is, by the time they find out, it may be too late. But we're the watchman on the wall. You see the danger, you sound the alarm. If they don't listen, then it's not on you anymore. But we've got to sound the alarm. So the first thing to understand is it's very easy to get lost, to get off the path. Even if you know better. Even if you know better. I've done it. I shared before with you guys about being in Birmingham, or Hoover actually, at Moss Rock Preserve. Got up there and depended on them having a map at the trailhead, and they didn't have any. I'm like, well, that's okay. First mistake. That's okay. It's not that big a deal. I can find my way around. I got lost. Now, I got out, but I did get lost that time. It can happen. It's easy to do. Secondly, but God's got a beacon. God's got a beacon. You know, when planes go down, these emergency locator beacons are supposed to go off, and the Coast Guard, or the Civil Air Patrol, or whoever should be able to pinpoint where they are. Well, God has a beacon. His name is Jesus Christ, and this is His written word right here. Here is your compass. Here is your GPS. Here is your beacon. Here is your map. But the great news is you don't have to just rely on His Word and that to guide and direct you as being your map. You can rely upon His Spirit in you, once you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be your guide. The best thing about a guide is you don't have to worry about what the map says. You're following your guide. Now, you need to be reading this. You need to understand His Word, because His Word is not going to contradict Him, and He is not going to contradict His Word. But His Spirit will guide and direct you. Now, you might say, well, my conscience is going to be my guide. If your conscience is your guide, then you will get off the path, because we can sear our conscience, we can confuse our conscience, and we can make bad choices. Don't go by what you feel. Go by what God's Word says to you. And His Spirit will agree with His Word, and His Word will agree with His Spirit. You see, His Spirit will accompany you in your walk of life. And if you spent time in His Word, feasting on His Word in fellowship with His Spirit, you will encounter situations in life and you'll just be like a flag goes off. Oops, nope, that's not the right way. Turn around and go this way. God's beacon is His Word, is His Son, and is His Spirit. But it only works. It only works when we realize we need that guide, that we confess our sins to Him, ask Him to forgive us of our sins, to come into our heart and life, to save us, to be our lifelong trail guide. He'll do that if you ask Him to do that. He will do that if you're sitting. You know, God says in His Word, those that earnestly seek Me, I'll be found by them. God doesn't play. Now, sometimes people play at church, but God's not playing. He sent His Son to die for us. He is not playing. Yes, He will give you what you need when you need it, but will you follow Him? Because it will not be easy. Nowhere in His Word did He say it will be easy. As a matter of fact, it is the opposite of easy. Did He not say that it is a narrow path? Did He not say it is a difficult path? And did He not also say that few will find it? And partly it's because we are lazy. and we want our own way. Are we? Is that not the truth? We're lazy. We want our own way. Christianity is not for lazy people. Christianity is not for those that want their own way. Because Christianity, God's Word says that you take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, what is the cross? The cross is an instrument of execution. It's an instrument of torture. What do you mean, take up my cross daily? I mean, take up your cross daily and follow me, he said. What does that mean? It means I die to self every day. What does that mean? That means not my way and my will, but yours. Not my plans, but yours. Throughout the Pauline epistles, you see Paul saying, if it's the Lord's will, I plan to do this. I want to do this. It's okay to make plans, but give him the pen. You keep the pencil. Because he may change your plans. And his plans are going to be better. I've had plans. And almost every time my plans changed, like, Lord, you know what you're doing? Yeah, he does know what he's doing. Yeah, he does. Without fail. You'd think I'd learned that by now. So it's easy to get lost on the path. But God gives a beacon. Thirdly. But you see, it's still ultimately your choice. God's not going to make you walk the path. He's going to show you. He's going to flash the beacon. He's going to say, this is the way. Walk in it. But you've got three choices. You can figure it out on your own. I don't recommend that. You can figure it out on your own. Now, what's going to happen if you figure it out on your own? You're going to have heartaches because you're going to make some bad choices. You're going to waste some time. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt some others. Now, will you get there? You might eventually get there because hopefully you will eventually discover that you don't know where you're going and figure it out that you need Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, the sooner you figure that out, the better off you are. Can you be saved when you're 80 years old? Sure you can, but it don't happen very often. Statistically speaking, when you go to a high school graduation, 75% of the people that go across that stage have made the decision that they're going to live with for all eternity, whether or not they're going to choose Christ or not. Can you be saved later on? Yeah, you can. I've baptized older people, but not many of them. The sooner you realize you need Jesus and respond to Him, the better off. Why would you put it off? Why would you wait? Because it's not going to get better without Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't want to figure it out yourself, you can follow others. Now, that's going to really help, isn't it? No, it's not. Because Jesus already said that, what's the gate look like that goes to destruction? It's wide. And broad is the way. And he says, many there are that go in there. So you got a lot of company around you, look out. You're probably going the wrong way. I just about avoid the interstate like a plague because it don't take but one person to be texting and driving or whatever they do, two vehicles bump together and you shut down the interstate. And you're caught on the interstate for hour after hour. I've spent many hours standing on the interstate up there because somebody bumped together and the road's blocked. So follow others. It'll be okay. Satan says, you know what? You deserve this. Everybody else is doing it. Watch out. That's a lie. Everybody's not doing it. Maybe a lot of them that are. And I'm going to be like your mom. I'm going to tell you like your mom did. If somebody else is going to jump off a cliff, you're going to jump off after them. Didn't she tell you that? Did she tell you? Yeah, I know she did. Because mine did too. Mine did too. Don't follow them off the edge of the cliff. And you might think, oh, I wouldn't do that, but oh my goodness, we do stuff like that, don't we? Yeah, we do. I've seen kids, teenagers, put in jail because they followed the crowd. If they'd done it on their own, they'd have never been there. But they fall along with the crowd, and somebody thought it's a good idea to drink and drive or whatever the case might be, and they wind up in jail or worse. Follow others. It's okay. You'll have a blast. No, you won't. No, you won't. It is not good to do that. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Don't follow the crowd. Don't buy the lie. Or the third option, it's your choice, the third option is follow Christ. I shared before with you guys a lesson I learned the hard way. Robert and Diane and I decided we were going to the Wichita Mountains National Wildlife Refuge. We're going to go spend a day hiking. And Robert wanted to go to the Crab Eyes. It's a big boulder display up on top of the ridge in the wilderness section of the wildlife refuge. Now, a designated wilderness means there are no marked trails. The only way you can navigate is with a compass or GPS and an accurate topo map. Now, I consider myself pretty good at navigating with a map and compass or GPS, because I do it. But I didn't have a good topo map. So I get there. Okay, we're going to go. We get out there, and to start with, everything's great. And then I realize we have a potential problem here, because guess what's in the Wichita Mountains National Wildlife Refuge? Buffalo and longhorn cows. And they like to walk in lines. And what happens when big animals walk in lines? They make trails. And there's trails all over the place. And I'm like, okay, we can still do this. So we go out in there. And we get to the Crab Eyes. We make it because you can see them. So we get up there, we make it. But then it comes time to leave and come back. And I sat there for a minute thinking, what's the best way to get out of here? And Diane made some kind of comment, Daddy, are we lost? No, we're not lost. And I'm thinking, do I have all the gear we need if we got to spend the night out here? And I got to thinking, because there was a group of folks that we met earlier that was hiking, and they got there and left a long time before us. And I'm thinking, man, how did they do that? And then I realized they paid for a guide. They had a guide that knew the way. He didn't have to have a map and a compass and a GPS because he knew where he was going. Now, we made it out. Obviously, we survived. But it was a little dicey there for a little bit. I thought for a little bit, we might have to spend the night out here. And I didn't tell her that. But the point is, if I had had a guide, it would have been a walk in the park. Well, friends, I'm not going to tell you that life's going to be a walk in the park, because we know it's going to have difficult times. Jesus tells us that. But if Jesus is your guide, if you choose Him, you will never be sorry. Because I will guarantee you, if you follow Him, He will make the right stops, He will make the right turns, and He will lead you to life everlasting. You want joy, you want peace, you want life. It only comes with Jesus Christ. Let Him be your trail guide. Let Him be your pathfinder. Do not try to bushwhack it on yourself and on your own. Father, thank You for Your Word, for Your truth. Guide us and direct us. Help us to surrender to You and allow You to be our guide. Father, as we open this part of the service, we pray that You will open our hearts and our minds to be led and convicted by Your Spirit to allow You to truly lead and guide and direct us for the best decision we will ever make, is to allow You, Lord Jesus, to be our Savior and be our Lord. Father, whatever we need to do, whatever business we need to do with You, help us to do it now. Help us to confess our sins before You, ask You to forgive us of our sins, to save us, to be our Savior and our Lord. To guide us, to help us make the right decisions, to be in the right place, to go where You call. For we are Yours. Help us to be all that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.